pocket I got full. Can I get an amen? I got a mask in one pocket and a mask in the other. I want to get a few things out of the way before we ever get started. Number one, my sister Laurel's song, When I Die, My Wife Knows What I'll Be Rolled Out In On. No grave's going to hold this body down. And Sister Laurel, the Bible says we're encamped around with such great a cloud of witnesses looking down from heaven. And I don't want my wife to have to plan my funeral, so I'm going to go ahead and ask you in front of everybody, if I die before you do, will you sing that when they roll me out? Be glad to. Amen. Woo! Hey, boy, some of y'all look like I'm going to die tomorrow. Come on now. Hey, I'm just getting things prepared. Hey, you're going to die. You better start getting some things prepared. Hey, you're not going to live forever here. Oh, no, we ain't going to live forever here. We're going to live forever either in heaven or we're going to live forever in hell. But you have a choice. You don't have to spend eternity in a devil's hell. You can spend eternity in God's heaven. This week, Brother J.D., I've talked with him some, but nothing about preaching or nothing of that aspect this week. And Brother J.D. wrote this morning, John 14:1. That's where I'll be at this morning. Thank you, brother, for the Holy Spirit doing that. John 14:1. While you're turning there, I just want to lead you up to a little where we're at right now with John 14:1. We've been doing some expository preaching. That's where you don't preach topical and you don't preach what everybody wants to hear, but you preach thus saith the word of God. You get you a book and you just stick with it. You stick with that book and you go from the top of that book to the bottom of that book and you don't add your opinions in. You don't add what you think's in. You don't add something in to get the applause of men, but you preach to get the applause of heaven. So I just want to bring you up to where we're at this morning. With everything going on in the world we live in and everything that's going on and school teachers that are passing and I'm not going to go into everything. I'm just going to leave it. You know where I'm going. This seems kind of appropriate that God would have us right now in John 14:1. You may come in this morning and you say, preacher, we're in a mess. And preacher, we're in all this. And preacher, we're in all that. Hey, I ain't in no mess. I serve a risen Savior. He's everything to me. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. You see, I stand on this book, thus saith the word of God, and I claim victories in the word of God. So this morning, we as a people has messed up John 14:1, and we believe it only be preached at a funeral. You can go to 10 funerals and 9 of them will be John 14:1. I'm one of them that'll preach it there. But I want you to know it's not only a time for a funeral, but it's a time for celebration. Jesus told his disciples, Peter said, Lord, I will not deny you. I will not deny you. I will not leave you. I will not do these things. He said, I will lay my life down for you. I'll die for you. And instead of Peter dying for the Lord, he denied the Lord. Folks, this morning I want you to know he told his disciples, he said in John 14:1, I would ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word. And the Bible says in John 14:1, hey, just before we ever get started, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Woo, boy, ain't he been good. Hey, let me go ahead and get this out. I was sitting there, and man, I'm all over the place. It's okay. We are going to have altar call. I don't know how we're going to work it. I don't know how we're going to sing it. I don't know how we're going to do it. But I believe, Brother Eric, I've missed the ball somewhere, but I know this, it ain't my invitation. Can I get an amen? It'll be his invitation. So whatever happens, and you feel led to come to the altar at any time, any place of this service, you have free reign to come to this altar. Amen? I just want to get that out there. I don't want to leave that in a gray area. I want it black and white, and you to know that this altar is open for everyone that's in this building. John 14:1, the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. There where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Heavenly Father God, as we bow in your presence this morning, Father, it's just good to be in your house. Father, it's just good to stand behind this sacred desk and preach, thus saith the word of God. And Lord God, this morning we've been given a promise in the word, and it says, let not your heart be troubled. Lord God, this morning we must not be troubled by the things that we read and by the things that we see. But Father God, we must read the word of God and get encouragement, get inspiration. But Father God, most of all, knowing that we have a home in heaven because we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Lord God, I would ask you this morning, if it would please you, Father God, to comfort these people this morning with a word that you've given me to preach. Lord God, if it please you this morning, if they a lost man, woman, boy, or girl in the building, that you would save their soul this morning. Lord God, this morning, that you would just do the work that you've called to do, Father. Lord God, I pray you'd sit down in this building. Lord, I pray this morning, Father God, that you just have your will and way, as Brother J.D.'s done said, with the Williams family. Lord God, I pray you'd comfort them kids, watch over them kids, give them peace, give them rest through this in their life. Father God, I thank you this morning that our Savior lives, and his name is Jesus, God Almighty. Lord God, he never changes positions. God, you'll never be dethroned. Lord God, you'll never be taken out of your position, and I thank you for that this morning. Lord, I love you, and Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the cross of Calvary, and I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Lord, I know I'm in over my head, and I'd ask you for the next few moments, if you just preach, thus saith the word of God. Lord God, allow me, Father God, just to get on the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And you take reign and you take liberty in this place. Father, your word says where the word of the Lord is, there's liberty. Where Jesus is, there's liberty. And there's liberty in this place this morning. I thank you this morning. There's no grave going to hold this body down. I ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning. John 14, number 1. And the Bible says, the greatest promise that ever has been. I've preached this so many times in my life, and I've preached on the greatest promise and telling the truth in what God has said. I heard a story told one time about a man that, hey, he had came home from fishing. Man, he had been fishing all day, and he came home from fishing about like Brother Aiden. About like Brother Aiden Gunnard, fished all weekend, and he had fished all weekend, and he came home. And when he walked in the house, he told his wife, he said, I've caught a 20-pound fish. Man, I've caught a 20-pounder. And she looked at him, and she said, just wait one minute. So she went into the pantry, and she brought out her scales. And the man, he said, well, wait a minute. It might not quite be 20 pounds. Folks, I want you to know this morning, when you put the truth up against a standard that has a standard to go by, the truth will always prevail. Can I say to you this morning that the truth that we're going to look at this morning comes from the Word of God. And the Bible says this morning in John 14, number 1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. As we come here this morning, we see the greatest promise that's ever made to a group of believers this morning. I know you've been made a lot of promises in your life. Some of them's been kept and some of them ain't been kept. Hey, but I want to tell you on the authority of God's word this morning, there's one promise that's going to be kept, and that is God Almighty, Jesus Christ our Lord. There's going to come a day he's going to split them eastern skies, and he's going to come back and he's going to rapture his church. He's going to call us up out of this place. And I don't know about you this morning, but that's a hallelujah in my life. Can I get an amen? He says this morning, how can we bet on that promise this morning? How can we take that promise? Number one is because it's made by the greatest person that ever can be imagined. This promise this morning, it ain't made by some preacher. It ain't made by some denomination. It ain't made by none of them but Jesus Christ himself. Look what the book says. It's written in red. It's made by Jesus, God's Son. It's made by the Messiah, the one that's going to hang on Calvary's cross. Friends, I don't know what will be in your hands this week, and I don't know what you'll go through this week, but you always remember whatever comes to your plate, whatever comes to your hand that you've got to deal with, you remember that in His hands was a nail-scarred hand. And friends, He had that nail-scarred hand so He could make you and I a promise that there's going to come a day. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Friends, this morning I want you to know, John didn't say that. Jesus said that. He said it's made by Jesus, it's made by the Messiah, and it's made by the Redeemer this morning. Hey, this morning it's made by the Good Shepherd. Hey, He didn't make you a promise that He can't keep. When He makes you a promise, He'll keep that promise. The Bible says in Titus 1:2, God who cannot lie. Friends, this morning I want you to know on the authority of God's Word, when you see Him make you a promise in this sacred book, He can't back up not one skinny minute. He's got to hold to His promise. He's got to hold to what He's called you and told you He'd do in your life. It said it was made by Jesus. It was made by the Messiah. It was made by the Redeemer. Hey, but on the authority of God's Word this morning, it was made by the Good Shepherd. Hey, this morning you're His flock, and He knows how to lead His flock. He'll lead His flock in the right way. You may think this has been a long week. You may think this has been a bad week. Hey, but this ain't got nothing compared to the week, hey, that He went to the Calvary. Hey, when He walked up Golgotha's hill. This morning I'm not going to preach on the affair of this world. I'm going to preach on a man named Jesus. I'm going to preach on a promise that He's gave His people. He said, I gave you a promise, and He made that this morning, and it's made by the greatest person that ever can be imagined. He said it was made by the Good Shepherd. He said, I am John 10:14. He says, I am the Good Shepherd and know my sheep and a known of mine. He says this morning, I know the needs that you have before you ever ask. I know what you need in your life. Hey, Union Chapel, guess what? God knows our needs. He knows what we need in this place, and He's going to provide our needs when we need them. Can I get an amen? He says this morning, let not your heart be troubled. Man, there's so much going on. Can see so much, but if you look into the Word of God, everything's going on is lining right up with the Word of God. Hey, it's going to have to get better before it gets better. Can I get a witness this morning? Hey, before a lost man can get better, he's got to realize how bad it was. Hey, before a backslidden Christian comes back to where God would have him to be, he's got to realize how bad it is, and then it'll get better. He says this morning that promise, it was made by the greatest person that ever has been imagined. This morning, Jesus Christ, He's made you a promise this morning. Hey, wives in this place, your husband may have made you a promise before and they didn't keep it. Hey, husbands, your wives may have made you a promise before and they didn't keep it. Hey, children, this morning, your parents may have made you a promise. Hey, kids, this morning, some little girlfriend may have made you a promise. Hey, boys, some little girlfriend may have made you a promise. Hey, girls, some little boyfriend made you a promise and they couldn't keep it. This morning, I want you to know that God's made you a promise and you can stand on that this morning. His promises are true. His yes is yes and His no is no. There is no gray area. There is no in between. He said He's made you a promise and He is going to keep it this morning. Man, you sit there like you want to. Let me give you this. I just got to share it with you. You know I love every one of you. I've heard of so much suicide in the last couple weeks. You listen to this preacher this morning, if you'll hear nothing else. There's nothing in your life. There's nothing that'll come your way. There's not one depression you're going to face. You don't know depression, preacher. I know depression. I deal with it weekly. Man, I deal with it weekly. I know what it is to get your feelings hurt. I know when things ain't going the way it should go. But you listen to me this morning. There's not one thing in this world worth you taking your life over. I want you to know God gave life. He's given you life. He's given you what you need. He's given you that in your life. And you need to take that life and you need to cherish that life. Friends, this morning, that's not the way out. There's only one way out, and His name's Jesus this morning. You stand on that word. You stand on what He's called you to do. Hey, I want you to know, kids, it ain't worth doing nothing like that. You stand on the Word of God. Hey, you may be going through depression. You may be in despair, but you've got a promise this morning. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Jesus said, believe in me. Man, this morning somebody's got to preach on it. Might as well be me, amen? Hey, might as well be me. It ain't worth taking your life. Do not do that. You listen to this preacher. This morning, if you walked in a congregation like this, there's probably somebody. that's contemplating doing something like that in a congregation this size. You listen to me this morning, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth, none of that's worth none of that. So, preacher, what I do, you look into that Word of God, you find you somebody that you can talk to. You find you somebody can talk to that won't agree with you. Whew, Brother Eric. You find you somebody that ain't a yes man on everything you ask him or ask her. Don't you find you somebody to tell you it'll be, oh, don't you get that person. There's somebody in this book and his name's Jesus. He's the author and he's the finisher this morning. And he's made you a promise this morning. He said, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and they follow me. This morning I'm begging you. I have heard of so much suicide in the last couple months. I'm begging you as your pastor this morning, don't you go down that road. You have a promise in the Word of God that stands the test of time. You stand with God. Amen. You stand with God. Young kids, talk to mamas and daddies. They're not your enemy. They're your friends. They're your friends. Friends tell you what you want to hear. Mom and daddy tells you the truth. Satan will tell you what you want to hear. Jesus Christ will tell you the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. This morning I beg you in the name of Jesus, if that's ever crossed your mind in this room, cast that out in the name of Jesus. Cover that in the blood of Jesus. Get that off the table. We don't need that in our life. We don't need that in our community. And we do not need that in our church that we attend. Amen. I'll just amen myself, amen. That's my heart this morning, though. That's my heart this morning. I look around this room and I see so many people I love, and I know you're going through, every one of you is going through something. I know you are. That's Satan's attack. That's his attack, and he wants to tell you God's lying. That God ain't telling the truth, but you always remember the Bible outdo Satan any day. The Bible is true this morning. Let me go on from here. He said that it's the greatest promise. It's because it's made by the greatest person that ever has been imagined. But this promise is also great because it's talking about the greatest place that's ever been imagined. Do you know this morning, not only the greatest person that's telling this story, but he's telling you about the greatest place that ever is imagined, ever can be imagined. Let me give you this morning. If you'll look with me, he says, in my Father's house. He didn't say in the church house here. He said in my Father's house. Hey, this ain't the beautifulest sanctuary you'll ever see, but it's a sanctuary. Look what he says. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He's talking about the greatest place ever imagined. Hey, this morning I'd have you to know it's a heavenly place. Its walls are of jasper. Its city's pure as gold. And there's a street of gold there that goes down the fairway of heaven. If you'll look in your Bibles to Revelation 21 and verse number 18, turn with me there. I'm excited this morning that I stand on the Word of God this morning. I stand on what God's called you and I to do. And I thank God that not only the promise was made by Jesus, but he's telling us about a place that we all can attend one day. Folks, you know what? Not nobody's banned from heaven. Not one person's banned from heaven. Anybody can go to heaven if they'll call on the name of the Lord. If they'll repent, turn and seek God's face, seek his favor, and let the blood of Jesus Christ save their soul. That heaven's for everybody. Look what he says in Revelation 21, 18. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. He said, when you see that place, Brother Eric, the walls are of jasper. Look what he says. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundation of the walls of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. All manner of precious stones. Can you imagine that? When you get to that place, the greatest place ever imagined, it's a heavenly place. Oh, but my friends, I want you to know it's a holy place when you get there. Hey, there won't be no cancer there. Can I get an amen? Hey, there won't be none of this old wicked stuff there when we get there. Why? Because that place, it's pure, it's precious, and it's been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. He said it's a heavenly place. Oh, but it's a holy place when you get there. He says in the book, this right here, he says there's no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of that city. Can you imagine when you get there? Woo! We're going to work for eternity. That's what the book says. We're going to work for eternity up there. But you won't get tired up there. You won't need a cup of coffee up there. You won't need all that up there. You know why? Because you're not going to get tired up there. Because you're not going to be in this old body, you're going to be in a glorified body. always tell the undertaker over at Sullivan's at Norwoods, I tell him, I said, you know, there won't be no undertakers in heaven. He said, let's rephrase that now, preacher. Let's just say there won't be no need for undertakers in heaven. Hey, that'd be like saying there won't be no preachers in heaven. There ain't going to be no need for preaching in heaven because the preacher among preachers is going to be there. Amen. This morning, I'm just trying to tell you, I want to give you comfort when you leave this place this morning, let you know that you've got a promise this morning if you're a child of God that you can hold on to. He said it's a heavenly place. It's a holy place. Hey, but it's a real place. We can know that by reading the Word of God. It's a real place. It ain't no imaginary place. It ain't no fake place. It's a real place when you get there. But I want to talk about a third thing this morning real quick. Not only is it what makes this promise so great, and it tells you, let not your heart be troubled. Number one, it was made by the greatest person to ever imagine. Number two, it tells about the greatest place ever imagined. But number three, it tells about the greatest preparation that's ever took place for you to enter that place. He said, I have prepared a place, the preparation. He said, I have prepared a place for you. There won't be no do not sit when you get in heaven. There won't be no social distance when you get to heaven. There won't be no mask when you get to heaven. There won't be no COVID-19 when you get to heaven. Friends, I want you to know he's prepared this place. There'll be no sin in heaven. There'll be no nothing that stains the streets of gold in heaven. There'll be none of them things in heaven. Why? Because it's not allowed there. And he says this morning, if you'll look with me in verse number 3 of our text, he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. There where I am, there you may be also. He talks about the greatest preparation. It's a prepared place. He took care of it on the cross of Calvary. And I want you to know it's not only a prepared place, but it's there for the prepared people. The people that's been washed by the blood of the Lamb. It's there for them prepared people. Look with me in Revelation 21 in verse number 3 through 5. And I'm telling you this morning, when you stick this right here and you weigh this out on the scales, I want you to know this morning, there'll be no error. There'll be no backing up. When you read thus saith the Word of God, you don't have to back up on it. You can stand on that word this morning. This morning. Look what he says in Revelation 21 and verse number 3. And John said, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. We're talking about heaven now. Let's don't get messed up. This is heaven. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, neither crying, neither shall there be any more pain in heaven. For the former things are passed away. Former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, voice right here. One that sat on the throne. You see, even when I get to heaven, I don't have no authority here, and I don't have no authority in heaven. Who's got the authority here, Brother BJ? The one that sits on the throne. Who got the authority over there, Brother BJ? The one that sits on the throne. You always remember, no matter what that day comes in your life, the one that has the authority over you is the one that sits on the throne. Look what he says here. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write these down, for these words are true and faithful this morning. He says this morning it's a prepared place. He said he went to prepare the greatest preparation ever imagined. It's a prepared place. It's prepared for his people, the ones that are born again, that believe in Jesus or Christ and follow him. But I want to share with you one last thing here before we close, and we're talking about a place. We're talking about a place. We're talking about a promise that he has made for you and he has made for I this morning. But it tells us about the greatest prospect that will come. That will come. Not only is it a place, not only is it prepared, not only is it all these things, but he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to send... No, Peter's not coming. Peter's not coming. He probably wouldn't recognize me anyway. Amen? Peter's not coming. So who's he going to send? He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I've heard that all my life, preacher, and it's getting closer. I've heard that, and I'm about, hey, it's getting closer. It's getting closer. You know when you say, well, I don't know if he's coming or not. That's just doubt from Satan. Don't you believe that? What's been written, he said, write these things down. They're faithful and they're true. Write them down. Look what he says here. The greatest prospect will come. He says, I will come again. He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. There where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. The greatest prospect will come. And I'm asking you this question this morning. You've been given a promise. The promise is by Jesus Christ. He's promised you a place, and he's went and prepared it. And he's told you he's coming. I'm going to slow this down where nobody misses this. But here's the catch to every bit of this, and here's what you got to understand. Are you ready for him to come? Are you ready for him to come? You say, well, how is he going to come? The Bible says he's going to come as a thief in the night. As a thief, he's going to come. You know, you're not going to know when he comes. You can't wait till the day he comes and say, I'm going to prepare now because it won't work now. See, he's giving you a heads up, if you will. He's made the promise, and the problem of the world we live in, people make such promises and don't keep it. And we think that everybody's like that. But there's only one that's always kept his promise. That's Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation. The greatest prospect will come. Revelation 16, 15. You notice I'm going to the Revelation a lot. It's the end of the book. I've read the beginning. In the beginning, God created. I've read the end. Surely I'll come quickly. Revelation 16, 15. This morning you've come in and there've been a lot of promises broken in your life. There've been a lot of things. I'll just be curious this morning. Have you ever had somebody promise you something that didn't come through? If you had, raise your hand. That's all over the house. I got to be curious something else though. Have you ever made a promise that you couldn't keep? All over the house. You see how this works, how Satan's trying to flip this thing on us. That this promise really ain't going to come, Brother JD. It really ain't going to, but Jesus said it's coming. And look what he says here in Revelation 16, 15, written in red. The Bible says, behold, stop what you're doing. Look and pay attention. That's what behold means. Stop what you're doing. Don't get entangled with the affairs of this world. Don't get tangled up here trying to get everything you can get here and don't have nothing laid up over there. Boy, I'd hate to be a millionaire here and a pauper over there, wouldn't you? I'd rather be a pauper here and a millionaire over there. Just saying. Behold, Revelation 16, 15, behold, I come as a thief. He says, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. The greatest prospect will come. We must anticipate for his return, and the Lord himself shall come. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, and I want to read this in closing this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And I want to start reading in verse number 13. You've heard this at funerals a lot, and maybe you was there and you was sad. Maybe you was crying, and maybe you was caught up, and you just didn't really hear what the preacher said. But now we've come in this morning, and we can just listen and gather information on what he's telling us is going to happen. And here Paul tells the church at Thessalonica, he says the greatest prospect will come. And by the way, Paul thought he was coming then, so it must be very close now. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, or unlearned, or don't know the times that are at hand. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, there it is, telling you about a man that's made you a promise. He's going to come back. Abraham told Isaac, said, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. All the way through the Bible, you'll see himself. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Preacher, I don't you too loud. I don't like that shout. You better get used to it. You think I'm a loud mouth? Hey, who was that? Hey. I like it quiet. I like it just so calm. So easy. When you get loud, it just stirs my fins. Folks, can I tell you something? When Jesus busts them eastern skies, Brother Eric Creed. Yeah. It ain't going to be quiet. I know y'all heard me and my mama sitting over there by one another. My sister Laurel was singing. Well, we're getting loud. I took my mic and I said, Mama, you got anything you'd like to say? And she gave me that look like, you know better. But folks, you know what? I'd hate to know I was loud at a ball game and quiet as a mouse in a church. What a hypocrite. What? What? Man, that's a double negative. That's not even right. That ain't even possible. How you can be loud at something that'll get you nowhere and come into the house of God and be quiet. There's one thing people can say about me and some of you others in here. We're loud everywhere we go. There's one thing that's been said about this church. There's a bunch of loud mouths go over there. And boy, I could get a witness in the house. I could ask you to stand, but boy, it'd be a lot. Let me go. Man, I just got off meddling there. Didn't mean to do that. I wouldn't do that. Folks, I want you to know there's nothing in your life worth giving up on. You keep marching. You've had a promise given to you. You know why we're back in this building today? Because God gave us a promise, and we're supposed to be in here. We're supposed to be doing what he's called us to do. But look what he says. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall ever be with the Lord. And he says in verse number 18, Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. I'm going to leave you right here. The greatest promise ever was made to you in the Word of God. There's not been a promise given to you in this world out here that you live in that men can keep, like the Word of God can keep this morning. And there's one thing last week, Halloween night, and I always bring this up. Halloween night, October 31st, and the following after that, we was over here having a heyday. Man, everybody that night, and they called it Fall Festival. Boy, everybody's having a heyday that day. But you know what that day is in my life? That's the day that I got locked up. That's the day I got put in jail. And man, it's a calendar day in my life that I'll keep forever, 17 years ago. But you know what? If I would have stayed on that path and stayed right there and never gave my heart to Jesus, he had never knocked on my heart's door, I'd still be on that path. But because he knocked on my hearts that day and I read in the Word of God that he has made me a promise, I want to get to know more about him. If somebody made you a promise, I'm talking about out of this world, this promise is out of this world, I can never understand why nobody wouldn't want to get just as close as they could get to him. Because he can't lie. If your life is filled with a bunch of lies, that's not of God, that's of Satan. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He's a liar, Satan is. If your life is full of lies, that's of Satan. If your life is full of deceit, that is Satan. But here it is, and let me give you this before we close. If your life is full of confusion, it's Satan. He's the author of confusion. Jesus Christ, he said, there is no confusion where Jesus is. This morning, you may have come in and confused with everything going on. You listen to this morning. His promises are still yes, yes. This morning I'm asking you, what promise are you standing on this morning? I pray you're standing on the greatest promise that ever has been made and ever will be made by Jesus Christ our Lord. What will you do with this great promise? Let us pray. Heavenly Father God, as we bow in your presence, Lord, I love you so much. Lord God, we come in this morning and we could come in defeated and we could come in despair. And Father, there's so much we come into. But Lord God, we want to come into your presence. And we want to come into where you are this morning. And Lord God, just how good it is. Lord, I got to sit on the front row by my mama. Put my arm around her while we sang. That's a blessing. I don't want to miss that. Lord God, to my right over there. Mama will usually be sitting at the back of the church, Lord, but you got a plan and a purpose. Lord God, sitting to my right, that was my wife. Lord, I never want to take that for granted. A wife that loves the Lord. Lord God, there's other men that's sitting in this house right now that's got a godly wife, godly girlfriend, godly fiance. All this sitting right beside them. Lord God, let us never take none of that for granted. Lord God, how good it is to be a follower of yours. Lord, I'd pray as this church, as we go on through this time of our life, that we don't look to the world and what it does, but we look to the Calvary. We look to them nail-scarred hands. And we realize that your promise is still true today as it was 2,000 years ago. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come get you. Lord God, I pray this morning that everybody on the sound of my voice is ready to be called home. Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you. I ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people say, amen. Amen.